Today we're going to be talking about what it means to partner with God in seasons of delay on Soul Zero 2. And welcome to Soul Zero 2. This is the podcast that is putting the oxygen back into the Christian life one soul at a time. And I'm so glad to be with you today. And today I want to talk to you today about the idea of what it means to not only wait on God and navigate those seasons of delay, but how do you do that, right? And I just want to pull it up to show you, for those who are watching this, that understanding divine delays, that's what we called it. And in this, we kind of delve into ways you can navigate it. The last time we were together, and it went a little long, so I didn't want to overdo it. But we asked the question, how do you make your waiting productive? And we said, you know, make sure you're waiting for the right thing, meaning the right object. Don't just wait for an answer, but wait for God. And then we also mentioned the idea of not just waiting for an object, but wait like a marathon runner, not a sprinter. We said that last time together. In other words, pace yourself in the race, because sometimes seasons can be long seasons, and if we don't learn endurance, we're going to end up acting like spiritual orphans who feel like we're rejected by God. Then we talked about the idea of endurance, what it means, that it teaches us self-control and surrender, and it teaches us, you know, to work God's way, not our way. But it also teaches us to navigate our time-bound thinking, because we are temporal, but God is eternal. And even though our outward is wasting away, as 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, our inward, the inward part of us is being renewed in the kingdom. So today I want to talk to you about this point where we left it at yesterday. How do you partner with the incarnated Christ, or we need to partner with the incarnated Christ in the process of waiting? If you see God as just a resource, then it's not going to work. If God is only the person who answers your prayers when you need something, it's not going to work. This has to be a relationship, thus a partnership. And we must learn what it means to partner with the incarnated Christ. And what do I mean when I say that? I mean simply that when we're called by God, when we're saved, it's never a passive thing. Yes, God saves us. We can't save ourselves. We get that. That's passive in that sense. You know, we can't save ourselves. But when it comes to following Jesus, that is not a passive thing. He talks about picking up your cross and following him, right? So how did God bridge, let's say, time and eternity together in humans? Because we're stuck in time, right? We're bound by time, but God is eternal. He did it through the incarnation. And we find that in Galatians 4 and 5, chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." There's something about the fullness of time, the perfect timing that God gives. That is a beautiful thing, where he works in his time, not my time. It says a couple of verses later, or one verse later in Galatians 4:6, "And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So God wants you to partner with him. Are you letting the Holy Spirit inhabit you to the point what you're so conscious of him that you realize that he's the one sanctifying, cleansing, directing your life, your thoughts, your emotions? This is what I mean by partnering. So God stepped from eternity and into time, giving us the eternal Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus dealt with our sins at the cross, and the Holy Spirit transforms us so that we can build for the kingdom and grow and thrive in the kingdom of God that he's bringing and that is already here in part. So how do we partner with Father, Son, and Spirit? I'm going to look at Romans in a new way that maybe you've never read before. And I feel like we read it wrong, and this is not something I've come up with, but there are way smarter theologians who have noticed this. There are theologians who are beginning to reinterpret the way Romans 8:28 is written, and they're saying that the old way to read it was, it was passive. In other words, let's read it together. It says, "We know that all things work together for good for those," and there's the Greek word there, eragzomai, "who love God and who are called according to his purpose." And this sees God as doing all the giving, and our job is to do all the receiving. So you see how easily this could create a passive mindset in Christians where, well, I'm just waiting around for God to do it, you know, and but maybe has it ever occurred to you that maybe God is waiting for you to do something? That he's already given you the means, you know, 2 Peter, he's given you the means, it's already inside you what he's given you. And so some theologians, like N.T. Wright and others, have talked about this. But they're saying that this is not a passive reading, that it's more of a synergistic reading, which looks something like this. And they call it synergistic. You know, synergy is when, like, if you have one ox pulling a plow, he pulls 4,000 pounds. But if you add a second ox, they're pulling 12,000 pounds. That's synergy. So when we partner with God, wow, we have the creator of the universe on our side. Think of how much we can get done than if we just passively wait for whatever. So here's how it reads now, right? So prominent scholars say that the verb eregzomai doesn't mean to work for the benefit of, right? Because it says it works, you know, for good for them that love God, right? It means to work with, not to work for the benefit of, but to work with. It's the word synergeo, and forgive my sloppy Greek there, but here's the better reading. It says God himself cooperates for good with those synergeo who love God. Do you see the synergistic, active action reading there? That changes the whole gravity of the scripture. And when you look at Paul was so aggressive in partnering with God that the Holy Spirit had to stop him a couple times and say, no, you can't go there. I'm stopping you. You cannot go into this country yet. Or I'm not allowing it all. He was such a partner with God that he almost ran ahead of God in some ways, right? And the Orthodox Jewish Bible has it like this, or close to it. And maybe one or two other versions have this. So God isn't looking for just beneficiaries. He's looking for partners. And 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, as we worked, here's a good reading. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. And the word work together, that's the word synergeo. And it's the same word being used in Romans 8:28. So this is why the reading is a powerful way to look at it. So God doesn't just work for people. He works with people. And God works all things towards ultimate good with and through those who love him. So God is looking for partners. Now, this doesn't mean I earn my salvation or anything like that, but it means that there's something for me to do in the kingdom, in our partnership with God. We wait for God, but God also waits for us. Have you ever looked at it that way? That maybe you already know what you ought to be doing. Maybe you know exactly what needs to be done, and you've been kind of putting it on God. Well, he's got to tell me, or he's got to show me a sign with, you know, 15 angels on a Thursday, you know, tap dancing or something. Or just obey what you know God is telling you to do, what he's already said. So is it possible that all along we have been waiting for God when in reality he has been waiting for us? But I want to start winding this down this way. We do it through the Holy Spirit. Again, this is not our own venture. This is not our own power or strength. What came before Romans 28? Well, Romans 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, right? And I put in parentheses there, maybe this is a struggle we might have at times. Times perplexity, the waiting problem. Lord, this divine delay is killing me. I'm waiting for you, Lord. And I'm trying everything I can, and I've obeyed and everything I know, but I'm still waiting. What's going on, God? For we do not know how to pray as we ought. but that very spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Thank God this verse is in there. When you feel that wordless pain of angst that Paul speaks about, that is when the Father and the Son and the Spirit seek to partner with you, especially, and say, you're not alone. We're going to help you. Even if you don't understand what your spirit is saying, we're going to help you say it eloquently, more eloquent than Shakespeare. Like a beautiful dance where Father, Son, and Spirit come into line, we wait for Him. And A.W. Tozier once said, time is on our side because the God of time is on our side. For the sons and daughters of the new creation, time isn't a devouring beast. It is our pet. So think about your season of divine delay. What is it doing to you? Is it killing you? Has it discouraged you? Has it brought you to a place where maybe you want to give up and say, you know, I don't know if I believe in this God thing anymore because it's just so hard? Well, giving up is not an option. There's no plan B with God. Either we follow Him through Christ or we don't. So you can't give up. So what do? You wait for Him the right way. So, and if you didn't hear our last time together, there are steps to waiting with Him that we talk about in detail there. So if you like this podcast, please leave a like and recommend it to somebody so that we can grow it. And we are on YouTube, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Facebook. And so till next time, I'm so glad to be with you. God bless you.